The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Amen. We have a lot of people, a lot of Christians who are demanded, okay, to do what they don't even know how to do. And that's actually a big problem. So we expect people to pray, but people don't even know how to pray. They don't even know what prayer is. They don't even know what to expect from prayer. So eventually you see people complain that they didn't get the results of prayer, as it were. Whereas in the first place, the things they were looking for were not even in the promises that God made concerning prayer. I get to the point. And that's why it's important things are taught. I'm one of the people who believe strongly that everything should be taught. Everything can be taught. Everything should be taught. And when we properly teach things as we ought to teach them, people will be able to do things freely and easily. And so there is need for us to teach on prayer, not just in charging people up to pray, but teaching them what prayer really is and how to actually pray. Because if you don't learn how to pray, I understand what prayer actually is, you're not going to have the results that you need. Or, let me put it this way, you might eventually have the results that prayer will offer you, but you will still not be satisfied because there are other things you're expecting. I was giving an example in the first service. Someone is there complaining, we pray too much in this country and the roads are not good. We pray in this country and there are no jobs. Prayers don't build roads. Prayer does not build companies. And so if that's what they're expecting Nigeria prayer to work out for us, God never promised that we will pray one day and companies will appear. In a sense, prayer can develop a nation, in a sense. But that is when prayer changes people and people will now create the change needed. So I'm saying all of this to say, most of the people are asking for things that God did not even promise them. Amen. Which is why it's so important that we learn how to pray. So this is like a prayer school. So I'm not just going to charge you up to pray. I want to explain prayer to you in the simplest ways I can. So when you go back and begin to pray, you now begin to pray with results. I now understand why we pray some ways that we pray. Amen. For instance, we're going to begin our study this morning with why do we pray? Why do we pray? For instance, why should we pray? Since God is all-knowing. You know, there were three statements I made in the first service. That's how we started. Jeremiah 32 verse 27. Jeremiah 32 verse 27. He said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me to do? And that verse simply shows us that our God is powerful. You know, the angel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1, he said, with man this is impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible. So our God is all powerful. He can do everything. He can do all things. Do you believe that? God is all powerful. I'm the God of all flesh. This is hard for me to do. Are you following me? Aha. With man this is impossible. With God all things shall be possible. So actually with God everything is possible. That's Luke 1:37. Again, we see another statement, for instance, we see another point, for instance, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32. Jesus told them, all these things you are seeking are the things the Gentiles seek. He said, but your heavenly Father already knows what you need. So again, we see a God that is all knowing. We call him omniscient. So what that means is that every need you want to ask God for, he already knows them. Are you following me? So you need a car. God already knows you need a car. Even before you found out that you needed a car, God already knew that you needed a car. I'll still get to that this morning. You notice, it wasn't Adam, for instance, that asked God for a wife. It was God that said Adam needed a wife. So even before Adam needed a wife, God already knew. Are you following me? So we call all powerful, omnipotent, all knowing. We say omniscient. Then Jeremiah 29 verse 11 tells us, I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So we learn now that God is not, is all powerful, is all knowing. Now we are also seeing that He has good intentions towards us. He wants to do good things for us. Now look at where I'm teaching from now. We serve a God who can do all things, right? Who knows that we need the things that we need and who wants to do those things. Now, why then do we pray? Since He can do it, He knows we need them and He wants to do it, why do we still have to pray to tell Him to do it? Are you what I'm talking about here now? Just like I need money. God can give me money. It's established in His word. God wants to give me money. He's also clear in His word. I get what I'm saying? And God already knows that I need money. So why do I still need to pray? Why do I need to spend 3 hours talking to God over something He knows? Something He can do. Something He even wants to do. So is prayer really necessary? All these things I have to spend in prayer. What is the point? Are you what I'm talking about? Because God is omnipotent, He's omniscient, then He's loving, He's interested. The man met him in, I think that's Luke chapter 1 or Mark chapter 1, the man that was blind. He told Jesus, if you will, you can make me, look at the man that was a leper rather. If you want, you can make me whole. And Jesus said, I will. So He always wants to do good. So the man that, God that always wants to do good, who can do good, okay, and who knows that you need good? Why do we need to talk to Him about what we need? He already knows the needs. So it's not just because He wants to waste our time. What's the point of praying? If you follow what I'm telling you very well, you understand why you need to have a very powerful prayer life. Amen. So someone out there is thinking prayer is not important. Because if God wants to do it, He will do it. If He wants to give me, He will give me. Somebody can even say, if you like, pray from now till next year. If God doesn't want to give you, He will not give you. That's nonsense. So, that's nonsense. So why do we pray if God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and is all-loving? Why do we still need to pray? Amen. Now, the first reason we pray is because prayer gives us the opportunity and the privilege to communicate with God. Now, this is the first thing we pray. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. It gives us the opportunity and the privilege to communicate with God. You have to realize that the first thing you get from prayer, the first thing we celebrate about prayer, is not that our needs have been met. No. It's the fact that we have that opportunity to communicate, to talk with God. You see, if you are going to appreciate prayer, you must first understand prayer from the point of privilege. Prayer itself is a privilege, a great privilege to talk to a great God. Many people don't see it as a privilege. They just see prayer as an opportunity to have their needs met. No. Are you what I'm talking about? Look, let me tell you what prayer is not. Prayer is not that I kept 10 million naira here. And I say, when you get there, you go carry the 10 million. It's somewhere around there. Just go look for it. Open the first book. The second book is under there. You can carry it and you go. That's the only thing people see prayers. But look at this. Prayer actually is, there is a very wealthy man who wants to give you, who wants to keep giving you, and who wants to talk with you. So you do not just have the opportunity of getting money from him. You have the opportunity of coming into his presence and sitting with him in his presence. I think that the reason many people don't appreciate prayer is because, you know, we have not understood that in prayer, we actually have the privilege of having the audience of God, like talking with God. So I was saying in the first service, sometimes I wish Maybe prayer is, you know, if you want to talk to God, God is in Jerusalem. So you have to fly. Now paint this picture in your head. God is in Jerusalem. We don't have access to him. So we have to fly from Jerusalem and line up. He's inside one room. Now, imagine that's a scenario. And you line up that long queue, millions of people who have prayer requests to submit. And then finally you get access to sit with this God. Is it money you'll be thinking about as at then? First of all, the privilege of sitting in the presence of such a great man. We need to understand prayer. First of all, from the point of the fact that it's a privilege to have that communication with the great God. With the great God. Because many people are so bothered about our needs that we'll forget what prayer actually is. It's an opportunity to talk with God. I know what I'm talking about. I gave an example. Adam. When Adam was created, for instance, Adam didn't have any need. Did you observe? Adam was not lacking money. Everything he needed was in the garden. Adam was not lacking food. Adam was not like, he was not sick. But God was talking with Adam every day. So what are they talking about? That tells you that prayer is not actually primarily about needs. It's about the privilege of communicating with God. So before you are bothered about, I've been praying, God did not answer. The first thing is, it's not even a privilege to be talking with God. Are you what I'm talking about here? It's not a privilege. So Adam, every morning, every evening, God will come, they will talk, how are you doing, how is this, that, and they will go. No requests. In fact, Adam never asked God for anything. The only time he needed something, it was even God that deciphered that he needed something. Adam didn't even know he needed anything. He was okay. Yet he was talking with God every day. Because prayer is a privilege to have communication with God. Whether we have needs or not. Whether needs are met or not. That privilege of talking with God. That privilege of talking with Him. That privilege. And if you understand what I'm sharing with you, like I was telling you in the first service, you will not play with your prayer time. You know how I see prayer time? I read this from Gloria Copeland. She said, every time it's time for prayer, if she says, I'll be praying by 8 every day, she imagines that she booked an appointment with God, and God comes at that time, sits on her dining table, waiting for her. And then she cancels. Say, oh, I woke up late, I cannot come. We've not yet seen prayer as a big, big privilege of talking to God. Talking to God. So before we talk about your needs being met, what of the privilege of sitting before God and talking with Him? And that's why there are people that once they prosper, once they pay their fees, once they don't have any other need, they stop praying. Because to them, prayer is all about having one need or the other met. Whereas that is far from what prayer is. That is just one of the things that happen in prayer. The real privilege of prayer is communicating with God. Are you following me, friends? So if you are not praying, you are not just missing out on having your needs met. No. You are missing out on having that special privilege of having fellowship with God. Are you following what I'm saying now? Are you following me, friends? Just imagine, again, I'm bringing the analogy again. Imagine God is in that office. Okay, let's not use God. Who are you looking forward to meeting in your life? Who? In your field or anywhere. Who are you looking forward to meeting? Who? Okay, Elon Musk. Who else? Is there anybody that you are looking forward to seeing or meeting? Huh? Tasha Cobbs. Okay. Cristiano Ronaldo. Huh? Let me ask you, how many of you are a Ronaldo fan? 10 minutes with Ronaldo, what will you tell him? 10 minutes, one on one Ronaldo, 10 minutes in a room, what will you tell him? Yeah? He changed his ways. Oh God, you're obviously not a Ronaldo fan. So, you notice, the first time you come into the presence of such a person, you'll be looking forward to meeting. You are not bothered about money, or things. You are just awed by his presence. You are just, like now you be this. Senior man. I like you. I celebrate you. You'll just be smiling. At that time, it's not about needs at first. It's about the fact that you are happy that you are sitting in his presence at first. So that it's not when you want to go that you even think, what do I want to tell this guy again? Oh God. I'm praying. One day you meet your hero. One day you just meet who you're looking forward to meeting. You sit there, don't know what to say. Excuse me. Do people have somebody you want to meet? Who do you want? Okay, leave football. Who do you want to meet in your career? Is it? Patience was up. What do you want to learn from her? You know, when you have that privilege. Now, I'm saying, if we understand prayer from the point of the fact that we have to talk with God, the first thing on our mind is not how much are we going to get from this. The first thing is the fact that I'm privileged to be sitting. And I am a pastor, so I experience this sometimes. Sometimes people come to you, they've been hearing about it for long. There's one girl that came to my office, I can't forget. She just came, it was the way. She came and sat down. We spent about 10, 15 minutes. I said, this is real. This is real. I said, what is real? So I'm sitting with you for real. Flesh and blood. I said, okay. He said, no, you won't understand. Sir, I've listened to almost all your messages. She began to mention, and she was actually correct. Mentioned. I said, see, my sister used to send them to me. And I have the website. I'm so happy. In fact, I prayed for a day. I didn't know it was going to be this easy. That's why you should make it a bit hard for people, sir. I was just like, oh, thank God. He said, sir, a selfie. In my office. So she didn't come to talk to me about anything. It was though she was going, she said, hey, finally, sir, pray for me. So actually, she didn't come, she just came to sit down and talk. She just was excited. That is how your heart should leap every time you have the privilege of meeting, sitting with God. You realize when people meet their idols, they don't even ask them for money. They ask for autograph. Because when you sit before a great man, sometimes money is the last thing on your mind. Are you following what I'm talking about, friends? That's why when we discuss prayer, you must first see prayer from the point of privilege. I am privileged to be talking with God. I am privileged to be in this conversation, to have the audience of Yahweh. It's a great privilege. It's a great privilege. Amen. So you look at David the king, for instance. He was praying, but in Psalm 63 and verse 1, he said, my God, early will I seek thee. This was a king. Remember, he was a king. He was rich. He had wives, if that was what you needed. He had power, if that was what you needed. He had everything. He was wealthy. He had nothing, as it were. He was lacking nothing. Yet, early will I seek thee. Because prayer is primarily not about having your needs met. So before you start asking, why do we pray? God is all knowing. God is this. First of all, I appreciate the fact that you have to talk. You can talk with God for that long. Forget that the fact that we can pray anywhere and anytime. And God always listens. For every time you have chance to pray, you must appreciate that moment. Are you following me, friends? It's a great privilege to be sitting, kneeling, standing before such a great God. For such a great God. Amen. Second reason why we pray is because as we pray, we get to know and hear God's will. Because just like in the natural, let me explain it to you. In the natural, you don't teach, and I know there are many teachings on how to hear from God. I have such teachings. But you see, after all those teachings, I'm going to say something to you. You actually don't teach children how to hear from their parents. Actually, you don't teach a child how to recognize the father's voice or the mother's voice. The child just has to be around the mother for some time and they have conversations. Over time, even from far, when the mother talks, he knows that's my mother talking. So by that constant conversation, he has been able to get acquainted with the mom and with his voice or with her voice. That's why I'm going to say this to you. You want, one thing prayer gives us as a privilege is to be able to know God's will and hear his voice. Hear his voice and recognize his voice. Amen. And so before you think of why am I praying where God is all knowing, think of the fact that I have time to spend with him. And he can tell me what his will is. He can tell, because even though God is all knowing, you are not all knowing. You don't know everything. So you will get to hear him, because learn everything on how to hear from God. Unless you start praying, you cannot hear from God. Or you will hear him, you don't even know he's the one talking. Have you not had cases where something was telling you to do something and you ignore that thing? After the consequences begin to play out and you say, something was telling me. Has ever happened to you? You want to get into a bus and you just feel like nothing, but then you entered eventually and they took your phone. And when they ask, you say things like, you know, sir, the thing is, if I entered that bus, something was there. That wasn't something. God was talking to you. I get what I'm saying. But it's by that constant communication. I was telling them in the first service, you know, when it's been discovered, children even hear they recognize their father's voice, even from the womb. So when a child starts getting to 8 months or so in the womb, if the father talks with the mom often and is always around and makes her happy, when he comes in and talks, the child will start kicking. Just by that, nobody taught the child how to hear from your father. Are you following me, friends? If you learn to spend a lot of time in prayer, it gets easy to know what God is saying. So people say, why are you guys praying? 6 hours prayer, 8 hours prayer. I beg, is God deaf? No, God is not deaf. I just spend time with him. Are you following what I'm saying now? So it's not a question of, if God is all knowing, he's all powerful, why can't he just suffer and why does he need us to pray? You actually need time to spend with him to be able to. Now hear this. I'm not saying God is going to delay your answers so that you can keep talking to him. No. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying before you think about answers and results and whatever that will come out of it, think about the fact that as I'm talking with God, I'm getting to know him better and understand his voice and know how he speaks. That's one of the easiest ways to actually begin to hear from God and not miss it. Are you following me, friends? That's why you notice every time you want to make a decision in this church, a decision that will change your life, that will alter your life or maybe marriage or stuff, I always make you to pray and pray. And people actually don't know why we do that. Because when you pray and pray and pray, it's easier to be able to know. If I keep you long enough with someone, you'll be able to know what the person is saying. In fact, can I say to you, if you talk long enough with me, it will get to a time you can even answer what you know I will answer without hearing from me. Are you what I'm talking about? You can answer exactly what you know I'm going to answer if you've not heard from me, because you've known my ways. You've known my ways. There is a generation that do not care about the ways of God. They care about the acts of God. So they come to prayer to see God move. They don't actually know that prayer, first of all, teaches you the ways of God. You'll be able to hear him. Be able to understand him. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Moses will go up to the mountain to spend 40 days. What was his prayer point? 40 days fasting on the mountain. What was his prayer point? 40 days. Jesus spent 40 days on 40 nights praying in the wilderness. What was his prayer point? Jesus was not lacking anything. When he lacked food, he multiplied it. When he needed money, he got it from the mouth of the fish. He was okay. Every time he had lack, he had provision. But he was praying every morning, about he would go pray. What was the point? Everyone I'm talking about. It's in that time that you begin to learn how to hear God, how he speaks, because he will talk to you. I give them an example in First Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible tells us that in those days, Eli was old and all of that. And the Bible tells us that the word of God was precious in those days. What that simply means is the word of God was scarce. Was very rare. There was no open vision. NLT said the message from the Lord was very rare. Very rare. And when you hear very rare, doesn't mean God stopped speaking. That's what I'm trying to make. Doesn't mean God said, well, I'm not going to speak again. Amen. Message said this was at a time when the revelation of God was rarely heard or seen. Was it because God said, well, I'm done talking to these guys. I don't like them. What was the point? Now, of course, eventually Samuel heard from God. But let's say Samuel heard from God. Verse 2. Bible said, it came to pass at that time, Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Verse 3. And the Lamb of God, as the Lamb of God went out in the temple of the Lord, when the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down. Put up an NLT. So Samuel was lying down before the ark of the Lord. Just near the ark of the Lord. That was his sleeping position. And then the next verse, the Lord said, Samuel, Samuel. So how was he able to hear God? It was about, he was lying beside the ark. That ark in the Old Testament is a symbol of the presence of God. So we could say Samuel was spending so much time in God's presence with God and all of that. It was easy for him to hear when God called. If you spend so much time in prayer and with prayer, you will be able to hear God better and know what he wants you to do. This is what I'm going to say to you. Well, I thought I was going to come to that later, but let me mention it now. Actually, when people say, I prayed, sir, for 3 months, nothing happened, that's the most terrible statement to make. You cannot meet God and nothing happened to you. I'll still show you. We're still coming. So Samuel lay down there, and because as he was sleeping there every day, it looked like nothing was happening. But over time, he was able to hear God speak. He was able to hear God speak. As he spent time with him. Revelation 1 verse 10. Bible said, John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I was in, so how did, you know, I was telling them in the first service, when I was studying on the gift of the spirit and all of that, when I got, there are gifts of the spirit, for instance, that you can easily induce. If you want to pray in tongues now, can you pray in tongues now? If I ask you to pray, you can just pray in tongues now and you just flow. But you see, something like vision, you can't induce vision. You can't make yourself see vision. Can you? Huh? Let's just want to imagine things. So, how do you now get yourself to begin to see all these visions? We are saying the secret. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. What that simply means was, he was possibly praying in the spirit on that day, and then he heard a voice. So, when we spend time praying, beyond getting our needs met, I'm not saying praying for anything. Once you are spending time with God praying, you are learning how to hear from him. You are learning how he talks. You are learning how to understand his voice when he speaks. That's why I can tell you, by the fact that I spent time with God reading is what I'm praying, I can almost tell that since I hear and I tell people, this is not God talking. And I've done this many times. I mean, sometimes God does not tell me anything. I think that's not God talking. You know, there's a way you spend time with your dad. If someone tweaks your, tries to clone your dad's voice and speaks, you can tell them that's not my father. He says that's every evidence. Say, you know, there are some, you know, do you know, if I, can I even tell you, as the way you spend time with, I'm coming to that, you spend time with people so much, even if they show you a video where they were saying whatever you think they said, you can tell them that's AI. You are so sure you cannot say that. You start spending time with them. I feel what I'm talking about. Are you following me at all? They say that's an AI video. That's not, the person I know cannot say that. You know, you can spend, I was telling you in the first service, you can spend time, you can be so attentive around your house, that even when your father's car is coming back and you hear the honk, you know it's him. Does it happen to you? Your father did not have car, it's okay. We are all in the same category. My father did not even have car. But he later had something. I don't worry about that. But you're able to pick from far. Do you know that what I'm telling you even extends to, how many of you trained dogs at any time in your life? Anytime? People don't like dogs. But you love dogs. Yeah, we had dogs growing up. It's good if our dog barks, I can tell you that's our dog barking. Clearly. I can tell you that's not our dog. That one is him. I can tell you. At the time we had two or three, I can tell you which one is barking now, which one is barking the next time. Just because we are around. So you don't even have to hear from animals. It's not hard to hear from God. It's just spending time in the place of prayer. So actually, one of the greatest teachings we need to learn on how to hear from God is to pray. Are you what I'm talking about? Prayers, praying and spending time with him makes you, you know, makes it easy for you to hear him and hear what he has to say. Are you still here? So, you see, prayer, second is why I said we pray, is because it makes it easier for us to hear from God. You know, we get to know God's will as we become more acquainted with his voice. Because even though God is all-knowing, we are not all-knowing. So when we pray, we get to hear him better, we get to understand him better, we get to interpret what he's saying better. Even interpretation is key. Because sometimes God talks, but people don't understand what he's saying because they don't talk with him often. Don't talk with him often. I'm not talking about being a prophet or being able to say that there's somebody here, your name is this. Let me even say something about the prophetic. I just sense this by the Holy Ghost as you say this. I was talking to PhD students the other time. You better, even if you are called to be a prophet, let me say something to you. The gift of prophecy will rarely work in your life for you. Let me say it again. The gift of prophecy will rarely work if you are called to be a prophet. And you can hear from God and say, there's somebody here, your name is this, your phone number is this. The gift of prophecy will rarely work in your life for you. You have to master how to hear from God as a Christian. Let me give an example. If I'm anointed to heal, I can come out and say, there are three people here that are blind, receive your healing, and they get healed, but I can be sick. Because I've not learned how to receive healing from God's word for myself. One is a gift, the other one is growth. That's why, if you say it's not true, why do prophets who flow in dangerous word of knowledge marry wrongly? How come they didn't hear from God well about who they were going to marry? Because it's not about knowing how to hear from God. Which fellow I'm talking about this morning? It's not about knowing how to hear from God to tell people. It's about mastering how God leads you how to follow him. Why do prophets who hear from God clearly, why do they get duped? If it's a business deal and everything just goes. He said, but I thought you were a prophet. You have to learn how to hear from God, how to follow God's leading for yourself. That one is not a gift. And one of the things that builds that is your prayer life. And they're spending time with God and learning how to hear him, how to follow him. I get what I'm saying. Are you following me? Because I've seen some of my sons come to me and say, Dad, how do I, when I talk to people, I don't miss it. But when it comes to my own life, I don't even know what I'm doing. I said, the other is a gift. The gift and the calling of God is without repentance. I get the point. You don't have to just, there are people that just get born again today. Like they get born again today. And they start hearing people's name clearly from today. They don't have to grow into it. It's a gift. God just, are you following what I'm talking about? I got born again before I could even say Jack as a Christian. I was laying hands on the sick and getting sick healed. But that didn't mean I've learned how to stand on God's word and receive my own healing. When the doctor looks at you and says, I'm seeing an incurable case. And when I'm looking at you, you have about 27 days to live. That time is not gift of healing. You don't let say in the name of God, I receive, be healed, doesn't work. Put your hand on your head. That's when you now have to learn to receive healing by yourself, for yourself. That one is growth that brings you into that. Is somebody following me this morning at all? It's growth. What I'm talking about learning how to hear from God, it's not about saying, well, sir, it's people that are called to be prophets. You don't need to be called to be anything. Prophet or no prophet. As you spend time with God, you will hear him for yourself. You will hear what he has to say. He will show you where you must walk. He said, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I think that's Isaiah 31, verse 21 also. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. But it's in the place of prayer. Shout amen, somebody. So again, another thing prayer does to you, while we pray, before talking about our needs, prayer also changes you. Let me explain that to you. The way I did in the first service. Have you observed that when two people begin to spend a lot of time with each other, they begin to rub off on each other? For instance, if two people spend so much time talking all the time, it will not be long, they might begin to have the same mannerisms. Have you observed? They even move their hands the same way. They even laugh the same way sometimes. You know what I'm saying now? Just because they're talking with the person. Before you know, if the person used to say, away. Before you know, start saying, away. My little niece, Monachi, she's not been up to two. Was anything that happened, Monachi would shout, away. That's what. How come? When you stay with people, they rub off on you. Even how they move their hand. How they do things. That's what I was telling them in the first time. Some people even argue. The husband and wife. Husband and wives begin to look alike over time. I don't know whether that is true. I don't understand it. Okay, I don't know. Your father and mother, they look alike. For some reason, I'm tempted to believe that it is true because I see some people, I'm wondering, are they related? So how come? Even choices, preferences, there are many things you may not like. But if you begin to flow with someone, you suddenly begin to like that thing. So you see what prayer does to us is beyond the fact that we are getting our needs met. We are spending time with God. Something is happening to us because of who we are spending time with. Our preferences are changing. Our thought pattern is readjusted. Things are... Are you following what I'm saying? Ephesians 1:17, Paul was praying for them that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ will give to them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's one thing that can happen to you in prayer. You are praying, for instance. You are not praying for wisdom. Just spending time praying. Maybe you are praying over a car. But if you pray for 1 day, 2 days, important is that you are spending time with God. That is a big gnosis. That knowledge that He has begins to rub off on you. You now open your Bible to study. It now becomes clearer. What changed? You've been talking to someone. Are you following me, friends? You'll be spending time with someone. Your prayer life will change you. I get the ability to change. So you see something that's like Ephesians 3:16. So that you'll be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man. How does that happen? In prayer. As you just finished praying over a matter. But you say, I'm praying, nothing is happening. That's not true. You cannot meet with God and nothing happened to you. Maybe the need is not yet fixed for whatever it is which we might still look at today. But something was happening. You know, you just go back, just find out that I've been a bit stronger. You know, I was sharing with you the other time. Somebody was sharing with me in this church of everything that has been happening to her, how things have not been moving well. But she said something stands out this year. She said even other years, things have not been moving well. She said, but if it is other years, I would have slept into depression, panic attacks. She said, but this year, I found out, I joined the prayer watch. And I found out that I'm actually at all those depression, all those whatever, do not happen to me again. It's not like every day we come to prayer watch, we are praying against depression, do we? We just pray. But because of that constant time she's spending with God, to her, nothing might be happening to her needs yet, but something is happening to her. Because you cannot meet with God every day and nothing will happen to you. It is not possible. Are you following me, friends? He's rubbing off on you. His thoughts rubbing off on you. His strength rubbing off on you. His passion. That's why you finish praying for long. You just find yourself, you want to go and preach the gospel. You know, you didn't pray about souls. But you've been praying. Something is happening. Colossians 1 tells us 9 and 10 that you walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. It's a prayer Paul was praying for them. He said, I cease not to pray for you. Verse 10 says that you walk worthy of the Lord. That, talking about walking worthy of the Lord, it was talking about their conduct aligning to what they believe. And prayer does that. Now, you see someone pray for long, pray. You know, some of you will testify, after prayer drive, you just go home after such long prayers and you look at one relationship you've been into and you say, it's over. From nowhere. How come? That's why I said in the first service, I want to say in the second service, you are dealing with any habit you want to conquer. As you pray, as you study, as you confess the word, as you do all of that you know to do, please spend time in prayer. Now, I'm not saying pray about the addiction. I'm not going to encourage people to pray about the addiction. I have my reasons. Because if you spend your time maybe they're praying, this addiction is broken in Jesus' name, sometimes you are focusing too much on that addiction. But spend time in prayer. As you spend more time in prayer, just praying consistently, 1 hour, 2 hours, what is happening? One of the things that begin to happen, your appetite will begin to die towards that. Have you ever experienced what I'm talking about? Anybody? Yes. Your appetite begins to die. Gradually, you begin to, it's no longer as interesting as it used to be. What is happening? There is somebody you are spending time with. So the man that says he doesn't want to pray again because he has been praying for this for 10 years and nothing happened to him, has robbed himself of the privilege of talking with God, the privilege of hearing from God, the privilege of being changed by God. So we call for prayer. That's why sometimes you see me, I call for prayer drive. We come, we'll not pray about your needs. We'll pray for like 4 hours. We didn't mention your needs. Say, I thought we came here to pray for our needs. So what do we come here to do? No, something was changing in you. Amen. If you just finish that kind of prayer, you find out that you are even a bit more forgiving, you are a lot more forgiving than you used to be. People just do things to you. Say, I know myself, oh, I know why I'm leaving you. The thing is, you actually don't know why you are leaving him. Something is working on you already. Amen. And I was talking to one of my daughters recently, and she told me, sir, God has been helping me with all this struggling with immoral thoughts and all of that. So I said, so have you compromised? I said, no, I've not compromised though. God's been helping me. And he said something, I'm even afraid to do it. It's not about she doesn't have man in her life. So I said, so if you had a man, will you do it? He said, I can't even do it if I have a man. The point is, now when you spend your time praying, you get to a point, you know there is something that you actually would have loved to do. But not suddenly you, look at what is happening to the lady. Some people will lose passion to do it. The whole desire, appetite goes. Some will not lose the appetite. But some will lose the drive. Do you understand? You know, the thing is hungry, you. But you don't just, something just stopping you. Then that's the third category. They will not lose appetite or drive or what have you. But they will develop a certain holy fear for God. Prayer instills fear of God in people. It's like you are afraid. It's not like somebody is going to beat you. I get what I'm talking about. But something is, there's this holy fear. And let me say this to you. If you are here and you don't have the fear of God, please begin to pray. There's nothing as the fear of God. Fear of God doesn't mean to be afraid of God. But it means to have reverential honor. Reverential fear for God. That's why it's not everything you do. There are things we don't actually do. Because we have the fear of God. But prayer can stir up that kind of thing in you. Looks like something is holding you back. And it's not like you are praying about the addiction. That's why I always tell you guys, every spiritual failure starts with prayer failure. Every time people come to me and they complain about a certain whatever in their life, I always ask them, how is your prayer life? So that addiction that I conquered last year, that I even testified about, I went back into it. Before you went back into it, how was your prayer life before then? I get what I'm saying? You always find that if you run the checks, there was a drop. I know there's something, I'm seeing this in the Holy Ghost. There's something that happens to people. When you go very high up in the sky, when you're dropping, you don't know you're dropping. And that's what's happened to many of you. When you used to pray for 2 hours every day, now you are doing 1 hour 30 minutes. Before you know, start doing 30 minutes, start doing 20 minutes, you're actually dropping. You don't know you're dropping until the devil weakens that your prayer, whatever. And then has access. So this idea of I prayed but nothing happened is actually a lie. Nobody can pray and nothing will happen. You cannot get into God's presence and talk with him and come out and say nothing happened. Something happened to you. You can't get under water and not get wet. It's not possible. Once you enter water, you must get wet. Once you enter God's presence, something must change. I get to the point. Are you following me? Jacob wrestled with God all night. That was prayer. All night. What was the blessing God gave him? You shall no longer be called Jacob. You shall be called Israel. I don't know whether that's what Jacob was praying about. But that was what came out of that prayer. Things change when you pray. You change to start with when you pray. Amen. So why do we pray? God is all knowing. God is all powerful. Can't he just do the things without we asking him for those things? What of the things prayer does to you? If God says, I'm just attending to your needs, whether you pray or not, he has done us a great disservice. He has denied us the privilege of talking with him. Are you following what I'm saying? He has denied us the privilege of learning how to hear from him. He has denied us the privilege of that fellowship with him and the changes he causes to us. So don't even desire to have your knees met without praying. You know that sometimes people say, and it looks like testimony. Say, for the past 6 weeks, I've not been praying, no. But you notice I've been moving very, very well. Be sure it's not the devil promoting you. Be sure. That's not a good testimony. But church will celebrate it because all the churchman knows about prayer is that needs are met. Who is following I'm talking about at all?
You know, for the past 6 months, I've not been praying. No, I've not been praying. But you know, God has been good. Things have just been happening. Like, so that I don't even know what I did to deserve this. Because I don't even pray. There's a problem. Because you're having your needs met, but you're missing out on the other beautiful privilege of prayer. Are you following me, friends? Why else do we pray? I think I can now touch your needs a little now. Why else do we pray? We pray because it is via prayer, through prayer, that we are able to agree with God on his position in any matter. Let me explain that very simply to you. Prayer is not actually an attempt. Please see what I'm going to say so that you understand it. It's not actually an attempt to inform God about what you need. Mm-mm. God already knows. Remember, we started from there. He already knows what you need. He actually wants to do it. But there is something in the character of God. Now, hear what I'm going to say. There is something in the character of God that does not let him to impose anything on anybody. Let me give an example. God wants, I use this all the time, God wants the whole world saved, right? That guy on the street, God wants him saved. That prostitute, God wants her saved. That Muslim, God wants them saved and to come to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what will God do? God will send some people to go and preach to them. If we preach them and they say we don't want to hear, will God say, well, whether you guys accept it or not, I'm going to throw the salvation on you. Must catch it in Jesus' name. Catch it by fire, by force. He won't do that. He will keep persuading them. Because in God's character, he doesn't impose himself on people. Is it very clear? So he will keep talking until that person responds and cooperates with him, and then he gets saved. Now, that is the same way God acts in everything he does. So someone needs healing. God already has spoken in his word. And his word says that he wants to heal you. 3 John verse 2. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. So God wants to heal him. Now, but God will not force that healing on him. He's now in prayer. The guy now begins to declare, in the name of Jesus, healing is mine. So when he's declaring, he is not actually trying to get God to do anything for him or to agree to heal him. God already has a position on the matter. In prayer, what the guy does is now to agree and take God's position on that matter. So in prayer, we actually take sides with God. If we do not pray, even though God is all-knowing and all-powerful, we will not receive nothing. Because we must, by prayer, show God that we agree with what he actually wants to do for us. Do you hear what I told you now? Are you following me? Because you wouldn't want to force anything on people. I was saying it in the first service. God is so wise that he doesn't force this on people. Because everything that he looked like in a sense that was forced on people, excuse me, they have a problem with it now. Human beings now have a problem with the fact that they were born men, male. They want, somebody say that when I'm born, I have the privilege of choose, I should choose whether I want to be male or female. And so that's when they make their choice. You see how stupid their choice is. You see why God actually chose that one for them. Amen. But then, that already tells that people want their free will. It is that free will you want. That's why you need to pray. Because it is in that, in prayer that you demonstrate your free will. God already says, Deuteronomy 33 and verse 12. And of Benjamin he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety. So clearly you see that God wants you to be in safety. Clearly. But God will not say, whether I like it or not, I'm going to keep you safe. Nothing will do you. I did. Mm-mm. Because if he does that, what if you actually want to die? You understand? So you see, now in prayer, you now say, in the name of Jesus, I declare, safety is mine. When you're declaring safety is mine, you're not actually trying to convince God to save you. He already has his plan mentioned before you even started praying. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? So prayer, as I always say, is to take sides with God. It's an opportunity to agree with God on a matter he actually wants to carry out. Why do we pray for sinners to be saved? Same thing. God already has his position on sinners. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants all men to be saved. In prayer, we are now declaring, oh, we receive the salvation of sinners. This guy is changed. He is turned from darkness to light. We are not trying to get God to agree with us. We are actually saying it because that's what he has already agreed to do from the onset. Do you understand what I'm saying now? That's why there are things people pray for, and they claim they prayed, but they don't see answers. Because in the first place, God was never going to do that, because it's not part of what he promised. So you see, you cannot pray and make God do what he never promised to do. Are you following me? That's a very heavy statement. I give an example in first service. That's why you cannot see somebody's car and lay your hand and say, this car is mine. This guy, you can't covet somebody's car. Bible said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's. Are you feeling I'm talking about here? So, you know, say, this guy is mine. This guy, after all those declaring, you just go and say, God doesn't answer prayer. He never told you that. Prayer is to find what God wants to do and take sides with him. And I'll tell you what God wants to do. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give an expected end. So you see prosperity in the Bible. You now go to prayer. The name of Jesus, I prosper. No lacks here. He said, you shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be the first and not the last. Are you following me, friends? He said, you shall be above only and not beneath. So when you are declaring, I'm getting to the top of my career, God will do it because you're actually taking sides with him. When you do not pray, he said, does God not know he has to take me to the top of my career? He should be there now. He promised. He doesn't know. He knows. But you have to show that you're taking sides with him. Are you following me, friends? So when you do not pray, you are robbing yourself of that privilege of taking sides with God, declaring, stating things how you want them. Amen. Glory to God. And I used to tell you guys that story of somebody that was declaring over Gloria Copeland. Gloria Copeland is Kenneth Copeland's wife. No, sorry, over Kenneth Copeland rather. The woman, she was getting old and she was still declaring that the Lord told her, showed her clearly. That's why I said, when you pray a lot, you'll be able to know what God is saying and how he's talking. When you pray, you study your Bible. That God told her that Kenneth Copeland is her husband. Now, not before he got married, when he was already married. And every day the man is preaching on TV, she's laying hands. I claim, I possess my possession and nothing shall stop me, but every day. And then every time he sees the wife, he begins to declare, any Goliath standing on the way should die. Now that's a futile prayer. Because it will not be answered. Now, why you are not taking sides with God? God never told you he will give you somebody's wife. Of all things, there are many white women on earth. Stop looking at people's wives. I don't know who knows what I'm saying now. Amen. Let me even tell you, I feel personally that it is now, I'm talking about adultery. Now, sin is sin. Fornication is sin. But you see here, now, this is not God talking. This is Pastor Henry. Is that okay? I feel fornication. When you go, there are many women that are not married on earth to go to somebody's wife. And sometimes the wife of a fellow believer. That's a breach of covenant. You see what I'm saying? It's a breach of covenant. There are women on earth, if you want to be a sinner, there are 1,000 ways to sin. And this is not just an advice. Okay, it's also a warning. Because let me tell you, every man has a killing tendency in him. You've not just touched somewhere. You see that wife? This is somebody's wife. They take it as an advice your pastor gave you. Because men can kill for their wife. You know, men are created to protect. That's how they think. So just come around, they can fight you. They can fight, you know, a guy was sharing with me the day he went with his wife, when they went to do their scan. Wife was pregnant. So the wife just laid down, and the doctor was, okay, just take this down. He said, the way he looked at the doctor, the guy stood and said, please, sir, can I continue? That protection, because he can punch you down, you die. That protection is there within. What do you mean, take what down? Without permission, what are they taking down? So, what led me to that? Okay, you cannot convert people's wife. Yeah. So if I go to prayer, I pray, oh, that wife is mine. It's a useless prayer. So in prayer, the privilege of prayer allows us to find out what God already wants, and we stand with Him. We stand with Him. Say, Father, see, this is what you want. I insist on it. That's what you do in prayer. So don't say, God knows you should just do it. God knows. He wants you to agree with Him on the matter. Amen. What else or why else do we pray? Oh, hallelujah. Get this time and walking, please. Why else do we pray? We pray because prayer is also an opportunity for us to get angels to walk. Now, let me explain this again before I continue. Remember I told you, God already has His position on the matter. Now, majority of things that walk on earth in the spirit, please see what I'm going to say, are powered by angels and demons. Majority of things that walk on earth. But everything that walks in the spirit on this earth is angels and demons. Angels doing the good things, demons doing the bad things. Right? If someone is going to get a promotion, angels will get to walk. If someone is going to be saved from an accident, angels get to walk. Like that. Now, but see the thing now. Why? See why you need to pray. Psalm 103 verse 20. Put it up. Psalm 103 verse 20. Let's read together, everybody. Like a mass choir. Are you ready? Let's go. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. So angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. So how are angels created to function? They function when they hear the word of God. So angels don't respond because there is a need. They respond only to the voice of the word of God. So when you now go to prayer and you take God's word and you are praying God's word, angels will now begin to act. That's what have you done? You've given God's word a voice. How you feel I'm talking about? So when you do not pray, you are actually stopping angels from getting to work. And that's why things will not change. It will get clearer, don't worry. You are stopping angels from getting to work. In Daniel 10 verse 12, Daniel was praying and an angel appeared unto him. And look at what the angel said to him. The angel told him, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy works were heard. Read the last line. Talk to me. Read the last line. I am come for thy words. I came in response to your words. Is it clear to us? So why did the angels come? There was something Daniel was saying. So angels respond to words. So when a man does not pray and claims that God knows everything, God just knows, doesn't think I need the car, he knows. But you actually stop angels from going to work on the matter. Are you what I'm talking about? It's now when you begin to pray, oh, in the name of Jesus, prosperity is mine. Aha. That angel goes forth and begins to work. And begins to cause things to change. And begins to set things, you know. And then, before you know, somebody's coming to buy from you. Because an angel has come to prompt his heart to come and buy from you. In the name of Jesus, safety is mine. Yes. You now find yourself, somebody was trying to rob along that way. 2 minutes away, he wanted to rob along that way. Something distracted you. And then the person missed you. See, that robbery that happened. You know, I was almost there. An angel intervened. Are you following what I'm talking about here? There are angelic interventions this week for you. Yeah. But it's in prayer, actually. That's why we pray. Because it's not like angels are not powerful to walk. It's because they are activated by voice. They are voice activated. Angels are voice activated. And they can add demons to our voice activated. That's why we begin to speak fear. I mean, or doubt. We go die for here. That's why I tell you that it's heavy demonic activity in Nigeria. Because this is our voice activated. Amen. I don't used to forget, October, what date is that? 20th, 2020, right? We will never forget. But we've forgotten. The day, the whole NSAS drama. Very painful thing that day. It was like, first of all, if you remember that night, you were very sad. Were you? Everybody was depressed. Everybody was sad. Then wars began to go forth. People began to talk. Nigeria. Once those wars began to go forth, by the next day, next 2 days, more people began to die. We kept hearing police shot somebody there. They shot police there. It kept happening. More and more. Because people were voicing those things, demons went to work based, I'm just telling you how things work out in the spirit. Based on what people say. So angels too go to work. So when you shut up and say, God knows my needs, why am I praying? Not only have you denied yourself the opportunity of talking with God, angels will just stay dormant. I gave them an example in the first service. Matthew 26 and verse 53. Jesus told them, I always use this scripture when I talk about angels. Jesus told them, don't you know that I can tell my father, Matthew 26, 53, I can call to my father and he will send me 12 legions of angels. Now, this was when I wanted to kill him. And they were trying to do it. He told them, why are you guys coming with swords and whatever to arrest me? I was with you guys in the temple, otherwise you didn't catch me. And even started with, I can call my father now, 12 legions will appear here. And the five classic said, I can call to my father and he will send us over 80,000 angels. So just prayer, Shegalabarada, 80,000 will appear. So why did Jesus now go and die on the cross? It was his choice. He did it for you. So Jesus didn't die for you on the cross because that was, because he couldn't help it. He could actually help it. One prayer, 80,000 angels will appear. So, why did they not appear? Why did they not come? He did not pray. Which fellow I'm talking about here? He did not pray. So, a believer can be going through a tough time and angels are watching. That's where your voice comes in. The things of God are voice, angels are voice activated. They are voice activated. Shout amen, somebody. So you want to see changes. You begin to pray. What happens is, I've seen angels even go to people and conduct surgeries. So do not sit down and say, doesn't God know my needs? If you don't want to help you, I beg you, don't want to help you. That's not true. Angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. You know, Peter was kept in prison in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Verse 5 said, and prayer was made without ceasing by the church for him. Verse 6, an angel of the Lord went to work immediately. Because once those prayers are going forth, those prayers give direction to those angels. You know, every time I read that Jesus' story, when he said that he can send 80,000 angels, it always makes me laugh. Because actually, when Joshua wanted to come and conquer Jericho, do you remember there was an angel that appeared to him? Do you remember that? He said, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. One angel was the one that took down the whole Jericho. One angel. Brought down the world. Now, Jesus said he can pray and 80,000 angels. Do they want to finish the whole Israel? Or be the whole room? 80,000 angels, they enter Nigeria. One angel can shut down this country. The Bible says they excel in strength. He said he make it his minister's spirits. His servant and his minister's a flame of fire. That's not talking about you. Say, I'm a flame of fire. No. That's what's not about you. He make his angels wings, his ministers flame of fire. That verse is not about, you're not a wind, you're not flame of fire. At least not in that verse. When he says he making his angels wings, his ministers flame of fire, angels and ministers are referring to the same thing. So his angels are his ministers, but they are flames of fire. We know the beauty about how powerful angels are, that angels were created that strong because of you. Remember, Hebrews 1 verse 14, are they not ministering spirits sent to serve those that will be heirs of salvation? So they were created that way to serve you. So why are angels strong? So they can protect me. Why are angels all powerful? So that they can do those things for me. So Brother Hagin taught us how to pray for finances. He said every time he gives, he thanks God for the privilege to give, and then he declares that in the name of Jesus, Satan, take your hands off my finances. Angels, go and cause the resources to flow in. What a beautiful way to pray. And then just go to work. So don't just sit down and say, just like when I tell people, when you give, speak. Yeah. Don't say, doesn't God see that I've given? He should be there now. No. God doesn't respond to your money. His voice. Are you getting what I'm saying? That day you made transfer. I want to honor my pastor. You send. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, for the privilege to give. For the privilege to honor your servant. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I claim much more coming in. I claim extra. Satan, your hands are off my finances. Angels, cause the resources to flow in. My supply is bigger than my needs. Next time I want to give, I'll give much more than this because Lord has increased me much more. You speak for those words in prayer. So don't just say, doesn't God know? Maybe God does, but the angels don't. Because they're not all knowing. I follow him, everybody. But remember again, you're not praying to angels. You're actually praying to God. Angels hearken to the voice of the word of God. So don't say angels, please. God, don't pray to angels. That's angelic worship. That's why when you hear me pray, I rarely mention angels in my prayer. But I know that angels are working when I pray to God. Are you following the point? So I can just declare. What a privilege to pray. Again, what happens when we pray is this. Remember I told you, in the realm of the spirit, things are controlled by majorly angels and demons. Then on earth, yeah, things are controlled majorly by men. Many things you're asking God is in the hands of men. So again, when we pray, we get the hearts of men to align to do what you want. Think about it. You need a job. Is it God that will give you a job in heaven? It's men that will give you a job. We want admission. Is it God that will write them an admission list? It's God that will give you the admission. So you see, already I'm trying to show you something that is very key. Let me say it if you've not gotten it. Prayer actually is not to move God to do anything. God already has a position. Prayer is taking sides to what he already wants to do. Then your prayer is now moving angels, moving situations, moving men, moving demons out of the way eventually. Are you know what I'm talking about? So I'm praying in the name of Jesus. The job is here. I'm not trying to get God to give me a job. He has promised me the job already. He said, they shall be the first and not the tail. The head and not the tail. So above only and not beneath. He said, the desires of the righteous shall be granted. I saw it in the Bible. So I'm praying. So it's not God I'm trying to move. So I'm praying. You see why you pray wrong sometimes. As I pray, angels are going to work. Where do they go to? They first go to the hearts of the men that control those jobs. Kai, are you following what I'm talking about here? So those guys will be delaying, but I keep praying. Those angels keep working in their hearts, convincing them. Remember, they will not force them, but they will keep present in their hearts. Present in their hearts. Present in their hearts. Esther prayed. In Esther 4, I was telling you guys that perfect lady, Esther 4 verse 16, she said, gather the whole of Shushan to pray for me. The whole Jews in Shushan to pray for me. He said, and I will pray. I and my maidens will fast for 3 days. He said, if I perish, I perish. She was praying because she wanted to go in to go and see the king, which should have costed her the crown. Remember, we saw that perfect lady? Should have costed her the crown. Why did she enter the king's palace instead of the king dismissing her? The king said, ask me for anything. Even up to the half of my kingdom, I will give you. Why? Prayer shifted that man's heart. Proverbs 21 verse 1. The king's heart is in the hands of God, and he turneth it to wherever he wills. The king's heart is in God's hand. There is no higher calling, greater honor
than to bow.
Ooh, come on, sing it.
And live and know your truth.
Nobody can see it. I still have 50 to tell you. Sing it. I'm amazed. Come alone, that shut I am.
Watch your glory and praise by your mercy, oh Lord.
Sing with everybody.
I live to worship.
Sing it again if you know it. Say there is no,
there is no
higher calling. Say
higher calling. There's no
greater honor.
Greater honor than to God.
Nothing beats the privilege of prayer.
And kneel before your throne.
And I'm amazed.
I'm amazed.
By
your glory.
Embraced by your mercy.
Embraced by your mercy. Oh Lord,
I live to worship you.
I live to
sing it one last time. Everybody add your voice to it. Say there is no sin.
Oh, there is no
higher calling.
Higher calling.
Nothing that beats the privilege of sitting before God or kneeling before Him and we are praying. You see what He does to the heart of man? The heart of the king is in God's hand. He can turn it wherever. It doesn't mean God manipulates the king, but He can impress it in his heart. You remember that night? The king could not sleep. Bible said that night, so for some reason, he couldn't sleep. And he said, bring me the books of the records. Remember in Esther chapter 2, Mordecai uncovered a plot to kill the king. That's why I'm going to talk about satanic interferences. Uncover the plot to kill the king, big deal, and those guys were dismissed. Not no reward was given to Mordecai. Because sometimes demons, that's to enter prayer doors. Demons can stop people's progress and their honor. But that night, as the Jews had prayed for 3 days, you see what prayer does? What did they pray for 3 days for? They prayed so that the Jews would not be executed. For 3 days. But here was the king in the presence of time. He couldn't sleep again. Nobody prayed for the execution of Mordecai. But prayer works out so much that we know. He couldn't sleep that night. So he just said, bring me those records. I want to look at them. And as he was looking, he now saw that it was recorded that there was a time one Mordecai guy helped. And he said, what have you done anything for this guy? They said nothing. I called Haman. Haman, I said, let's honor this guy. What kept the king from sleeping that night? The heart of the king is in God's hand. You're looking for a job. When you get to prayer, don't think you're about to go and convince God to give you a job. No, God already wants to give you a job. But there are people that will sign the document. Someone has to approve for that department. And I can tell some of you, they will create departments just for you. Yeah, just for you. The company will just say, we want to expand. Just because you are there. And some of you see the testimony. Some of the dream companies are looking at wherever. We relocate to your state very soon. And it will be because of you. And your job is in that company. You say, how is that good? How is that possible? As I'm talking, an angel has left this meeting. And it's in that person's heart. Saying, think Enugu. Think Enugu. Yeah, that's how it works. I'm just going to say, you know, I've been thinking. We've not really done anything in the East. Let's expand. Oh, angels are working. And they walk in the hearts of men. So because the things that we need on earth are in the realms of men. Psalm 115 verse 16. The heavens, even the heavens belong to the Lord. The earth has He given to the sons of men. So because it is men that now run the earth. I get to the point. You notice God will now begin to walk in that. So your prayer is not actually to move God from His position as God. If you can move God, then He's not God now. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you can move God, He actually has a position on the matter already. But there are things you are dealing with. There are angels that need to walk. There are circumstances that need to align. There are men that need to move. Mordecai, or Nehemiah rather, prayed in Nehemiah 1 verse 11 and he asked God to show him favor before the king. And the king granted him, you know, I was talking to him in the first service. The permission Nehemiah was asking for was an eternal permission, if I can call it like that. Say anything like that. He was looking for the king. And he was asking for permission to travel home to go and rebuild the city walls. That's not 3 months. That's not 6 months. That's not even 1 year. Because if you read to the end of Nehemiah, he didn't even go back again. And the king said, just go. And again, he was asking for permission to go and rebuild the city wall. Remember, these Jews were in captivity under the king. And walls in those days represent security and protection. So he was going to go and strengthen the king's enemy. The people that the king was dominating. And the king should have said no, but the king said it's okay. Even gave him tools, gave him wood. It's the power of prayer. He fasted, he prayed. The king said he's a master. I can tell you. I said it in the first service. I want to say it the same way I said it in the first service. I have my reservations against the movie War Room. I have my reservations against some people. Room. I won't discuss it now. I have my reservations about it. However, you can never doubt that prayer can fix your marriage. Most of these things you are shouting to your husband or to your wife. You will never change. You will never change. Prayer can go to work in that heart. Before you know the things you used to tell him before, you will not tell him again. It's not makes different sense to him. He say, you know, I really didn't see it from this angle. I want to tell somebody, try prayer. Try prayer. Oh. Try prayer. Try prayer. Is this, you know, you've been saying this, but I didn't really understand it. So that's basically, we even blame you. It's your fault. Now, you didn't even explain it this way to me before. But you've been saying that same thing. Just that this time, something that's working in his heart. And finally, in prayer, we cause the devil and demons to take their hands off our affairs. So are you seeing how it works? The mechanism of answered prayer is not actually that prayer goes to God and causes God to stand from his throne and begin to act. No. It is that God already has a position on the matter. God already wants to bless you. He already wants to supply. He already has his position on the matter. You now go to pray. Immediately they begin to speak God's word, angels get to work. Where do they begin to work? They begin to work on the house of men. They begin to work on the situation at hand. They begin to work to wait off those satanic forces. Daniel was praying. From the day he began to pray, answers came. But the prince of Persia stood against that prayer for 21 days. But an angel was working. So, you see what I was talking about in Mordecai? How come a man did that kind of thing for the king and nobody remembered him? See, you better go and start praying. Good deeds are not always rewarded. That's why I want to say this to someone. You've had a chain of good things happening to you recently. Don't think they are coincidences. It's prayer that has worked those things out. Because if Mordecai had just exposed that secret, that plot to kill the king, I was rewarded. They would have said it's just coincidence. Now, it's normal. If you do that kind of thing, somebody must reward you definitely. But here, it is. Nobody rewarded him. Nobody. Why was it after they prayed in Esther chapter 4 that suddenly in chapter 6 the king could no longer sleep? So don't say I was rewarded for my good deeds. Maybe or maybe not. Maybe also somebody had to remind. An angel has to go and remind that king. Not rewarded this guy. I told you guys about a mentor of mine that shared a story of how he was broke. He said he was praying for many people. You pray for them, they will get well. You pray for them, healings. He said there was even a woman that he prayed for who has not had a baby for long. And he prayed. And the woman conceived. And this was a very wealthy family. And he just said, man of God, thank you. And that was it. For long. He said, he wasn't money conscious. So it didn't bother him. So one day he went to pray. He said he was praying, fasted for 3 days. He said he had encounters in those 3 days. One of those, he was even praying to a point, he began to throw up. Not like he was sick. He began to throw up some kind of devilish substances. It appeared that he was a man of God for real, blessing people, but there were things holding him down. I guess what I'm talking about. That's why I told you, you can work miracle. It doesn't mean you are working it upon your own life. You must learn how to break free. So they began to throw up. Many things happened to him. After the 3 days, he came out from that prayer. Guess who called that woman? I just conceived. He came and said, you know what? Discussing recently, I was talking with my husband. And we just realized that since that miracle, 1 week, 2, 3 years. Child has finished growing. Just found that we've not really done anything for this man of God. His mind, he was like, I don't blame you people. I said, that was the first time. He said they didn't transfer to him. They counted cash. See, he has never had that kind of amount of cash. He carried it like this and was living in the house. And I think it was strategic that God made him carry it cash. Because your miracle is sweet in your hands. He carried it cash. So that was the day doors began to open. But that's why you see that it's not everybody that works miracle. They give money. That's why, let me say this to you. Don't try to say crazy things. That pastor is rich. Now look at how big his church is. They'll be giving him money. It's not every pastor that has big church that people sue to. Have you not seen pastors that have a very big church but are very broke? Very, very. Because once that thing covers their voice, it's just like you're under a basket and you're shouting, "Hey!" Nobody can hear you. Because there are satanic forces that stand against you. But that's why prayer comes in. You push those things away out of the way. So the way visiting that hospital is doing well because they have fine facilities. There is that part. But there are also places you do advert, put billboard, put everything. Nobody's coming. Or when they come, they underprice you. After pricing you, they say we will come back. And they go to somewhere that is even 10 times better than you. Now this is why we pray. So in prayer, we're not fighting God. Are you going to what I'm saying? We're not even trying to get God to align to us. We are dealing with issues. We are dealing with men. We are dealing with devils. What I just told you now is in every kind of prayer. We are praying for souls, for instance, to be saved. God already has his position on what he wants souls to do. He wants souls to be saved. Right? Now, when you are praying, what are you doing? You are dealing with the heart of that man. Again, you are sending angels to begin to orchestrate situations that will lead to that guy's salvation. And that you are pushing off that God of this age that has blinded their hearts. And for any case you bring, this is how prayers are answered actually. Sometimes when I say angels are working on men, sometimes the men that are working on is even you. Maybe you are praying over a matter, it's your heart that is being worked on. So I go back to what I said earlier. Never say that when I pray, nothing happened. Never. You cannot come before Elohim and say, I stayed there. After staying there, I left. Say, so what happened? Say, nothing, no. Just prayed for 3 hours for nothing. It's not possible. You met with God. Something changed. Strength entered you. Didn't know where it came from. Revelation hit. You don't know where it came from. Things happened to you in that moment. Then angels had gone to work already. This morning, I'm going to ask you to pray. We're not about needs. Somewhere in this service, we're going to pray for needs. We're going to just pray in the Holy Ghost. Look at it, verse 1. He told them a parable to show them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray. Now, he didn't say men will always have needs, but he said men ought always to pray. Because whether there is a need or not, something happens when I pray. Something happens to me when I pray. Men will not always have needs, but men ought always to pray. 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, he said, I exhort therefore that men everywhere lift up holy hands. And I told them in the first service, I'll still teach you on prayer posture somewhere in this series. But this one of them, lift up holy hands. Praying everywhere. Men have to pray everywhere. And let me say to men like men, like male men. Nobody says men, he's talking about man or woman. But let me talk about male men here. Men ought to pray. Brothers ought to pray. All this I want a prayerful wife is irresponsibility. Men ought to pray. You see, intercession is powerful. A prayerful wife can pray and push devils out of your way. You know that's very possible. A prayerful wife maybe can pray and align situations to work in your favor. A prayerful wife cannot pray to a point that you begin to hear from God for yourself. A prayerful wife cannot pray to a point that privilege of going to prayer and God is changing you happens to you. It cannot happen. That is what prayer intercession can do for you. There are things that only you can do for yourself. Some things are taught. I can teach you how to hear from God. But other things are caught. You have to go to prayer to catch them yourself. So, I know I cannot have accidents because people are praying for me. Mama's prayer got me covered. Instead to break us from mama's prayer. I'm not saying your mother should stop praying for you. I honor my mom every month. Because I know she prays for me. Amen. But it's not mama's prayer alone that should get you covered. Because mama's prayer will not teach you how to hear God. Will it? Mama's prayer will not bring you into that fellowship with God where issues are solved, where your emotions are brought under control, where you learn how to hear from God, where your appetites die, where things happen to you. Mama's prayer will not do that. Learn to pray. Learn to pray. that is no greater honor, no greater calling. Nothing beats that privilege of praying. Things will align. Angels will go to work. Demons will get out of the way. Circumstances will fall in place. Men will fall in place. Your heart will change. You will commune with God. You will hear Him. Things will happen to you. Prayer is such a privilege that we shouldn't take for granted. So we obey this verse. Stand to your feet. Lift up your hands. And let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Lift your voice. Let me hear you. You have like 3 minutes. Lift your voice. Shabara Kandelo Bosata. Lift your hands all over this place.
Greater honor than to bow.
Shambala Tarabasono. I like how some of you lift your voice. Let me hear you. Shambara Telak all over this place. You are not praying for any need. Just pray in the Holy Ghost all over this place. Pray. I need that intensity all over this place. Fire will jump into your prayer life. Keep doing that.
Greater honor.
They will catch it.
And you before your truth. And Lord, I'm amazed.
Woo.
At your glory.
Home.
today, take your prayer life seriously. I declare over you a lot in this church, and my words don't fail. But there's actually a limit to what my words can do for you. There is a place for building your own personal life. That's how you get to begin to hear God. That's how you get to begin to change by your interaction with God. That's why we'll come to church like this and we'll say pray. And people are moping around. I wonder whether they think that people's prayer will jump on them. Some just wait for one pastor will be talking and they'll be shouting, Amen, Amen. No. Any pastor, any church, we do not give people opportunity to pray with their own voice. They are robbing those people. They are robbing them. First, we must take an opportunity to pray. That's why when we wanted to start our prayer watch, that's the reason why I didn't start on YouTube or Facebook. Because I figured on those platforms, people just comment. And that's why I started on Telegram. I told them, of course, we were on doing Google Meet, I said, stop people from commenting. I don't want people to don't be typing email. Of course, when you follow service like this, I encourage you, if you're following service online, to comment on the post, on the comment, you know, at least so that you can carry another person along. But when we're having that kind of prayer watch, you're alone in your room. So pray. Don't be typing amen. Or draw loud mouth open. Open mouth. Wah, wah, wah. Open it for real. Pray. Are you following me? That is how your own life will change. The result of prayers will go to the man that prayed. That statement is not to cancel out intercession. But there is something intercession cannot do. Intercession cannot make you learn how to hear from God. I can't intercede for you. In fact, that's why you notice, I'll close with this. I'll talk about kinds of prayers to progress. Even though intercession does the other person you are praying for good, it does you good too in a way. Why? You are appearing before God. You remember that scripture? They go from strength to strength. Each of them that appears before God in Zion. Look for that scripture for me. They go from strength to strength. Each of them that appeared before God in Zion. And I want to prophesy strength over you. Put up that scripture. I want to speak it over the people that just came to me. They go from strength to strength. Each of them that appeared before God, each of them appeared before God in Zion. Ooh. Oh, Mate Kumbrataya. Have you seen it? Psalm 84 verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. As you appear before God, strength is ministered. It's ministered. And that's what I'm telling you. If you are getting weak, just go and pray. This is go and pray for strength. Just have a life of prayer. You'll get stronger. I prophesy and I minister strength to you in the name of Jesus. You are getting stronger. This week you are getting stronger. I say this week you are getting stronger. This week I declare heightened angelic activity around you in the name of Jesus. And I spoke over them in the first service. I said over you, you shall dwell in safety this week. No harm, no hurts, no shame, no harm comes near your dwelling place. You are kept safe and you are protected. In the name of Jesus. And I'm praying specifically over your prayer life. You will pray better this week. Oh. Pray better this week. That's what we want to achieve. That's why I say that it's prayer clinic. I could have named it prayer charge. I just come and I know five things I can say and this will be off and we are praying. But that's not the whole point of all of this. You need to understand how these things work. So when you are praying, somebody says, explain to me what you are doing. You can simply explain to them, look at what I'm doing. Look at why I'm doing this and all of that. Amen. Your life is getting better. I say your life is getting better. I say your life is getting better. Do you want to thank God for the privilege of prayer? In prayer, thank God for the privilege. Lift your voice. Thank you for the privilege of being able to appear before Him and to pray. What a privilege. You don't have to go to Jerusalem or to go to Mount Sinai. You just have to pray where we are. Thank you, Father, for this beautiful privilege. Help us not to take it for granted. Help us to maximize it as we should. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Be seated. Are you blessed?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.